It's Madden Monday podcast with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X and Trib Live. Of course, The X, the flagship station for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pens have a game on Monday night against the New York Islanders. You can check it out there if you want. And after the last two, I don't blame you if you don't. But the Penguins need this win in the worst way possible. They have a chance here to get 2 points against a Metro Division foe. I was kind of hoping they'd have four, if not already, but four at least in this three-pack of games against the Islanders and the Devils, who they've played here recently. Mark, how do you feel about where the Penguins sit right now? Feels like they're sinking right now.
I think the only way they'll get 2 points against the Islanders on Monday night is indeed in the worst way possible. I think the Islanders will have to give it to the Penguins by playing poorly or maybe doing some of the terrible mistakes the Penguins have made a habit of over the past, past entire season to date. Take, for example, the loss Friday at Long Island. They're up 4-2. They just had scored near the end of the second period, and they put the Carter line out there, big mistake, and suddenly the Islanders score to make it 4-3 in the final minute of the period and less than a minute after the Penguins score to take the 4-2 lead. That is two of their oft-repeated sins done with one goal, which is actually pretty impressive in a perverse way. They just keep screwing up in the same manner over and over and over again, so much so that I can't ever think it's going to stop. I just think this is who they are. Those mistakes have become the identity of the Penguins, and I have to respect that because at least at long last they have an identity.
Along that vein, what Mike Sullivan had to say after the game, Mark, when he was questioned about the third line, he got kind of snippy with whoever it was that asked the question. Because he said, you guys ask me this all the time, and I'm going to give you the same answer. They have some good moments, they have some bad moments. Well, everybody keeps asking you, Mike, about the third line over and over again because nothing changes. That's the problem.
Well, to be fair, I don't know what he changes. I don't know who he plays in their place. I don't know how he makes them play different when they just stink. I think the third line, in a particular Jeff Carter, is the single biggest problem with the Penguins. Every time you see a terrible thing happening to the Penguins, you look at Jeff Carter's proximate. Not every time, that's an exaggeration, but only a slight one, certainly more often than not. Rob Rossi came up with a good nickname for that line of Carter, Kapanen, whoever happens to be there, usually McGinn. He calls it the Legion of Gloom. When those guys get out there, bad things happen. And again, there's so much wrong with the Penguins, primarily the fact that Jari's not been available. But in terms of what's been happening on the ice recently, that Carter line has been the root of all evil.
Speaking of Jari, boy, his absence just continues to grow in terms of importance. Hopefully he's back soon. But then again, you got to throw him right back out there and expect he's going to be the Tristan Jari of old, which was pretty good in the regular season last year. We don't know what it's like in the playoffs because of his constant injuries.
Well, but he's got to play when he's back, but I don't know when he's going to be back. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back. The way they've lied about the injury, and clearly they have lied because they've been saying it's upper body, but Frank Saravelli, who's a real good reporter, says it's a chronic hip problem and always has been. There have been reports of his hip having troubled him in the past. I believe he's going to try to play one more time, and then he'll be shut down for the season. And that is probably an irresponsible guess on my part, but if they're going to lie, I'm going to guess irresponsibly. So that's my prediction. And would it surprise you? Isn't that what this seems to be kind of leading up to?
Exactly. And as it leads up to that, it underscores a point that you made on Twitter, one that I echo. Don't go doing something stupid in an effort with a big swing to try to save this team, because even hitting on a big swing might not be enough.
Oh, it won't be enough. There's no trade this team can make that would raise its ceiling from being anything more than losing in the first round of the playoffs. That's the best it can possibly do, even given, you know, a big trade. If they got Patrick Kane for free, Tim, and they won't, but if they did, they would still lose in the first round of the playoffs if they made the playoffs at all. So, but my worry is that that might happen because Hextall's going to look to try to save his job, and Brian Burke too. I think they're the most vulnerable to dismissal if the Penguins do miss the playoffs or do go out in the first round this year. So, you know, ownership has to keep them from doing that. And I don't know if Fenway Sports Group is that, you know, present, if they're that involved, if they're that cognizant of what's going on and what needs to not go on, namely the kind of trade we're talking about. Mario would have prevented that. I just don't know if FSG is keeping a close eye.
I'm starting to notice, whether it's in dialogue about the Penguins on Twitter, social media, whatever, people that cover the team, those that just root for the team, this sort of, I think it's pretzel logic, Mark, people trying to justify the decision to keep the core together by way of saying, well, everybody else besides the core stinks, so look where they'd be without them. Well, I know what the core was last year, and it still wasn't good enough to get a playoff win for a fourth straight year. So I don't think that validates the decision to keep the core together. Do you?
I don't blame the core.
Well, I'm not blaming the core, but I mean, I don't think that the fact that there's nothing else to help the core makes the decision any better, because there won't be in the next coming years either, because they're going to be so cap-strapped by the decision to keep the core. And guys like Carter and Kapanen.
No, they're not cap-strapped by the decision to keep the core. They kept the core at a reasonable price. You know, these contracts to Malkin and Letang, and the contract with Sid, now that it's, you know, it always was, you know, reasonable, going to be reasonable. It grew into being reasonable as the cap went up, even though the cap hasn't gone up for a couple of years. But no, I mean, keeping the core isn't what's killing them. It's the team they assembled around the core. It's the contracts to Carter, to Kapanen, to Rutta, the trade for Petrie, the goaltending problem that should have been fixed. Keeping those guys is not what's caused this problem. If you want to say that they should have started a rebuilding process back in 18 or 19 by, say, trading Malkin at that time, that I agree with. But the decision this past offseason to keep the core, that's not what's dug the hole.
Maybe not what dug it, but I don't think it gives it any flexibility to get better, though.
No, I disagree. The contracts they signed Letang and Malkin to are reasonable. They would have got a lot more elsewhere. The contract with Carter, Kapanen, Rutta, I mean, that's $10 million bucks or so right there. I mean, imagine if they had used that more wisely, or even hadn't used it at all and had the cap flexibility now. So those are the contracts I blame.
Did they move the wrong guys on defense?
In terms of like Matheson and
Marino?
Probably. I mean, I'd rather have Matheson right now than Petrie. I think Petrie's been just a horrible disappointment, don't you?
Yeah, he's done nothing for me. He's been hurt, and when he's played, he's not been impressive, and Rudd has been hurt for most of his time here as well. Neither of those acquisitions has done anything for me, and they won't allow Ty Smith to be impressive because they don't give him a chance.
Oh, they'd be much better off with Ty Smith than John Rutta. Much better off.
That I would prefer, and I would prefer to see whatever mistakes come along with the young guys than consistently just rolling Carter out there. I mean, this just feels like an unending desire to justify a contract and placate a crony. That's all.
There's no question that's what it is. No question that's exactly what it is, Tim. And that's a big part. The cronyism displayed with Carter and, you know, Kapanen being Sammy Kapanen's kid. And, Tim, if I had to predict one guy they'll go get, it'll be Luke Shen. They'll get Luke Shen, the defenseman from Vancouver, under the premise that he has edge, which he does, under the premise that his cap hits small, which it is. But who's he playing place of? Who do you bench? Just sit Letang? I don't think so. Just sit Petrie? No. Just sit Rutta? No. I mean, but that's who they're going to get, because I think Hextall's been an utter disaster as a general manager. And it's come more clearly into focus, as sometimes things like that do. But he's going to get fired at season's end, which is why, again, he can't be permitted to make any trade of any magnitude now.
I know folks are banking on the fact that the Pens still have four in hand against the Islanders, as opposed to the Islanders, I should say. They have four games to play more than New York does, four games more to play than Florida does, three more than the Capitals. But they've got to win the games that they play, Mark, and these other teams have flaws too, sure, but I don't see the Penguins getting any better as the season drags along. Do you?
Well, I have no confidence in the teams chasing them to catch them either. If you made me predict right now, I'd say they're still 50-50 to make the playoffs, which is what I would have said 3 or 4 weeks ago. The problem's the real problem. You want problems? I'll give you problems. The real problem is going to be next year. Like this year, I don't feel Buffalo and Detroit are going to be able to catch the Penguins. I just don't feel they're ready. Next season, I don't feel the Penguins will be able to catch Detroit and Buffalo.
Not only that, but to a point you always make about, it's not just about qualifying as a wild card. If they ever were to have a chance of doing anything in the playoffs, they'd have to finish in the top three of the Metro, and that ain't happening. I mean, those three teams are running away from the rest of the pack. I think Carolina now, after the outdoor game, has won like 9 of 10. The Devils have points in 8 of 10. The Rangers are 8-0-2 in their last 10. I mean, like, those three teams are putting a real buffer between themselves and the rest of the East.
Yeah, so the Penguins are playing for a wild card, period. And that means they get killed by Boston or Carolina. So, that you know, Tim, if it was totally up to me, I would trade Zucker and Dumo. I would be a seller. I would get rid of the guys who are going to be free agents at season's end. But I feel like they think they would be doing the dressing room a disservice by doing that. But I feel they'd be being realistic and doing right by the franchise. It's time to stop worrying about how this dressing room feels. It's too late for that. And it's also improper to worry about this 17-year playoff streak. It would be 17 this year, right? It's been 16. Because that's as meaningless as the Tomlin no-losing season streak. When you haven't won a playoff series since 2018, there's really no point in making it that many times in a row. Not extending the streak, certainly.
Yeah, if I'm Letang, Malkin, Crosby, and I'm looking at trying to salvage this year to shoehorn into the 7th or 8th spot and then get poleaxed by either Boston or Carolina versus, like you said, trading those guys and getting some young talent or draft acquisitions in to make the back half of this decision to keep the core together a little bit more realistic and doing something for one last push. I'd rather that than the first thing.
Yeah, no question about that. But I want to add, too, you know, I've been saying that they shouldn't think about the feelings of the dressing room. Part of that is because, let's face it, when we say dressing room, we're talking primarily about Sid. In somewhat Letang and Malkin, right? Well, this is exactly what they all wanted. Okay? So they don't get to be mad. That might, you know, sound absurd from a narcissistic athlete's point of view. And let's face it, hockey players are less narcissistic than most, and Sid in particular, almost not at all. But they do want what they want, and what they wanted was this. So again, they don't get to be mad. Not in the immediacy, certainly.
What do you think of Boston, Mark? You mentioned them a moment ago. Is this a team that's destined for the Cup or at least an Eastern Conference win, in your opinion? Are they just a regular season team? What do you think of them?
I don't think they'll win the Cup. I think I always hate the concept of when somebody says a team peaks too early. I think they peak too early. I just don't think they're as good as they're playing. I think they're good, though. I don't trust their goaltending. I do think that the one thing they have the Penguins don't is they're a veteran team that has X amount of young stars, namely Pastrnak up front and McAvoy on defense. And they also play smart. The Penguins are a veteran team that makes peewee mistakes time and again, whereas the Bruins, when they get a 2-0 lead, it's a death sentence. I don't know how many times the Bruins have blown a 2-0 lead this month, but I bet it's not as many times the Penguins did just Friday night, which was twice.
I can't get over the repetition of give back a goal within a minute or two, allow a goal right before or right after an intermission. It's crazy, the momentum swing moments that they just give back. It really is unreal.
Yeah, but that's what, again, stuff like that seems fluky until it happens over and over again, and now it's become habit.
The Rangers, Mark, I guess they lost their first game against the Flames on the road. That was the first loss they've had since the Tarasenko trade, I believe. How do you think he's fitting in, and what sort of threat are they to Carolina and the Devils in front of him?
I think he's fitting fine, but I don't know if that streak's solely result of having acquired him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a threat to beat Carolina. I think they'd be a threat to beat anybody. I think the top two teams in the conference are Carolina and Boston. in terms of being able to win series, I would rank the Rangers behind those two teams and Tampa, and that's probably it. And a lot of that traces back, of course, to goaltending. Not that Shesterkin has been on fire all year, but he's real good, and he can pick it up big time at any time.
Last hockey point, Mark, as far as the teams chasing the Pens, do you see the Islanders as being the other team that qualifies? Does Washington manage to get a second wind? Is it Florida or one of these other young teams like Buffalo or Detroit that catches up? If the Penguins do get a wild card, who gets the other one?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not impressed by anybody you just mentioned. I will say that Buffalo's real close to the Penguins. They don't have the games in hand handicap. You know what I mean? The Penguins have the game in hand on a lot of those teams, not on Buffalo. But I'm not sure I trust, a lot about Buffalo. They're so young, their goaltending, their depth. If you made me pick one team that I think could catch them, Florida won the President's Trophy just last year. It's hard to believe they're not going to make the playoffs, period. Sorokin is the best goalie. The best goalie usually makes the playoffs. So one of those two teams.
Mark Madden with us. It is a Madden Monday podcast. Mark, one of my favorite things of the NFL offseason so far is Cam Hayward's one-man war against the NFL rulebook. He's lashing out at talk of instituting the hip drop tackle. He's lashing out at the quarterback sneak that is employed by the Philadelphia Eagles. Does he have a case in either debate?
I think he needs something to do. Well, okay, the hip drop tackle, it's a tackle. It should be legal. Is he for or against the rugby scrum quarterback push?
He doesn't like it because he says when the Eagles do it, the linemen are never set. That's what he says is illegal about it.
Well, if they're not set, then they should call that.
Right. I don't know what that has to do with the legality of pushing the man, which is legal and has been since 2005.
Yeah, I have no problem with something that works. I actually find it perversely entertaining. It really is a sight to see, isn't it? I mean, it works all the time, and it looks the part. It's fun to me. It's the most fun short yardage play I've ever seen.
It is, until you get a guy like Sean Payton who says, I'm going to do it the whole way up the field if it's allowed, and I don't doubt him because he's that kind of guy.
Well, then he can do it all the way up the field, and the defense has to figure out a way to stop it.
I don't have an issue with it so much. Here's where I think it's going to fall apart, is that, like Arthur Mote said, people are going to start taking cheap shots at the quarterback, and they will do anything and everything, Mark, in the name of player safety, especially at the quarterback position, and that's what they'll use as a reason to legislate the play out. That's what I think they bring back the rule that says you can't shove from behind.
They can do anything they want, but if they're doing it because it works, that's a poor decision. It would be a rare occasion where they're legislating against offense too, which would go against their grain in
true.
A big way.
That part is true. I was thinking about, Mark, I'm writing about this a little bit for the Trib. Want to get your thoughts on it. Here we are a year removed from the crazy quarterback carousel, and a lot of the questions remain about a lot of the players involved, whether it's Aaron Rodgers and he's going to leave Green Bay, Derek Carr now is leaving Las Vegas. We still don't know what Denver's going to be at quarterback because Russell Wilson stinks. And we're not completely answered with our questions about Kenny Pickett, too, for that matter, nor any of the guys who were drafted after him. I don't know how much clarity has been given to the quarterback position for a lot of those people in the year since we were last talking about it.
I'm bored talking about it. The thing I hate the most right now is the current debate on the ESPN debate shows, especially in Get Up, where I'm a big Mike Greenberg fan, but he's out of his mind with who's going to play quarterback for the Jets next year. And it was bad enough when the debate was, will they get Aaron Rodgers? Now it's, who should they get between Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson? And to me, the answer is very clearly Derek Carr. You don't have to trade for Derek Carr. He's 31. He's still in his prime. He's not the gigantic pain in the ass Aaron Rodgers is. His body's not breaking down like Lamar Jackson's. I don't know why you wouldn't get Derek Carr.
Finally, Mark, after winning the slam dunk contest, Mac McClung said, you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it. My response to that is, you know what I want to do? Dunk.
You know what my response is? I saw a film of him winning the dunk contest. Who is he?
He played at Georgetown coming out of high school, where he broke all of Allen Iverson's scoring records.
Okay.
And then he went to Texas Tech midway through on a transfer. He's bounced around a little bit in the G League. He's in the Philly G League. And he was a great dunker in high school, though. I mean, like, there's dunk highlights of him going back to all the way when he was 16.
Okay, so why don't they let guys, like, from the Rucker League? That's the playground league in New York, right? Why don't they let them play in the NBA All-Star Game? I mean, what's he doing at the NBA dunk contest if he's not in the NBA or peripherally so? I mean, I don't get it.
I don't know, Mark, but it's the first time it was interesting in a long time.
Apparently it wasn't, because I didn't watch it and you had to explain to me who it was.
Well, I saw the four dunks that he had were four of the best dunks I've seen in the NBA dunk contest since Jordan was doing it.
Yeah, I saw he was like plucking them off some guy's, you know, head, like they were holding the ball and sitting on shoulders. I mean, it's just dumb. You see, here's one thing about things like that we've always failed to understand. The dunk contest in its infancy was great, right? Like Dr. J and so forth, correct?
Yeah.
The three-point contest in infancy was great with like Larry Bird and stuff, correct?
Yes.
You don't have to do them forever. Sometimes they run their course and there's no need to do them anymore. And the same is true of all-star games in general, might I add.
Well, maybe they could involve a dunk tank. I hear that worked out great for the NHL.
I'm still not over that.
Is Sid?
I just think too nice a guy would do it again if asked. I just think some stuff doesn't need to be done over and over again. And I think the dunk contest, again, now that they can't always get the best guys to do it anymore, right?
That's a big part of it. I don't know if anybody that they would have gotten would be better than McClung was, but generally speaking, that answer is yes.
Well, if the best guys won't do it, there's no point in having it.
He played in one game, by the way.
Yeah, what? And he's in the NBA All-Star Game dunk contest. It's like the home run derby, Tim. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody really does.
Mark, how was the deck hockey competition?
No, it was good. Four divisions, two adult, two kids. It was fun. I mean, Tim, I got to be honest, I thought it was real good. I thought the kids' divisions were real entertaining. I've done so many of these, I'm numb to evaluating them. You know, the last game, I want to say 2-1. So, you know, it was some good stuff. We gave away good prizes, I'll say that. The Lemieux Foundation gave me a box full of stuff to give away. I was unprepared for how great this stuff was. Like, there was an autographed Lemieux jersey, an autographed Lemieux helmet, game worn from the fantasy camp, Tim. Let's not get too excited. Same with a glove that he signed. Window Nation gave us a Jake Guentzel autographed jersey. So we gave those like MVPs. Every kid got a hoodie that won, a t-shirt runner-up. Every kid got a hat, period. So, Tim, if hockey tournaments are measured by how much crap you give away, this one may have been the best ever.
Mark Madden, you can check him out with me on Madden Ben's Unfiltered. That's Monday morning at 9:30. And you can listen to the Madden Monday podcast each and every week. Read me at Breakfast Ben's and read Mark as well at Trib Sports.